You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Mixtape. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you, and I want to give a shout out to all of our campuses, those in Dover and Millersburg, Worcester and Canton, and Coshocton, and soon to be Cambridge. And so we're glad that you're joining us. We're kicking off a brand new series, so you've picked a great day to be at New Point. And what we want to talk about is Mixtape, a soundtrack for a great marriage, or Mixtape, a soundtrack for great relationships. And maybe you've heard this, but the problem is, with marriages, is that marriages start off as an ideal, and then it becomes an ordeal, and then pretty soon you're looking for a new deal. It's a little bit like the young couple in the video. You know, they have certain expectations, they have this ideal marriage in their mind, and they have expectations. And they begin tracking down there, and then what ends up happening is it becomes an ordeal, and suddenly they're looking for a new deal. Now, I realize today that there are all different types of needs that's represented here. Some of you might be newlyweds. You might be like that couple in the video. Some of you, maybe you've been married, and now you're divorced. Others, you might be separated right now. Others of you, you might be married for a while and you're going through a season that maybe you've never experienced and it's challenging. Some of you are single and you're hoping to get married. Maybe others of you, you're engaged. But we're all at different points in our relationships. But one thing is true. All relationships are challenging. They're just challenging. There's probably nothing more challenging in life than relationships, being able to relate to one another in a healthy way. Now, I can say this confidently without any doubts that I believe that God has brought you here, okay? I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that He wants you to be able to learn some things that maybe you've never learned before. Or maybe remember some things that you've learned that you have forgotten. And so I have three goals in this series. My first goal is to comfort you. If you're in a marriage or you're in some relationships that are hurting and suffering and you're frustrated, you know, my hope is that through this you'll be comforted. The second goal in this series is that I will convince you of some things. I want to convince you that it's possible to have a great marriage. I have a friend who's a counselor, and I remember I had been married, you know, maybe 5 years. And he comes to me and he asked me this question. He said, "Are you happy?" He says, "Are you happily married?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "I haven't met a couple who was happily married in a long, long time, and I do a lot of counseling." Maybe that's you. Maybe you're wondering, is it even possible to have a happy, healthy marriage? And my hope is that I'll be able to convince you, because many people think that's impossible. And what I want to tell you is it's possible. You can have a marriage more fulfilling than what you could ever imagine. And so I want to hopefully convince you of that. And then the third thing I want to do is I want to challenge you. I'm going to challenge some of our thinking. I'm going to challenge some of the ways in which we relate and we respond to one another that ends up causing us problems, ends up causing us pain in our relationships. Now, when it comes to relationships, it's like a mixtape. When it comes to a marriage, it's like a mixtape. Why? Because we're all different. Every single one of us is different. We're one of a kind. And so every relationship, every marriage contains a unique blend of personalities, of a unique history, unique circumstances, unique set of problems. You bring a set of problems into that relationship. The other person brings a set of problems into that relationship. And also a unique set of joys. We each do that. Now, despite the fact that every relationship and every marriage is different, there are certain aspects of relationships and marriages that affect all of us in the same way. There's some universal constant things that you and I have to deal with. And it's in every relationship. It's in every marriage. It's just the nature of relationships. And one of those is the power of expectations. And we want to talk about that today. And I've done some reading on this, and Andy Stanley has some powerful thoughts on this, and I want to share with you some of his thoughts as well. But the power of expectation is something that's usually universal in every relationship that we have, whether it's at work, whether it's with our kids, whether it's with our mom and dad, whether it's with our spouse. We just have that. And what I want to do is I want to try to help you understand something about expectations and how you and I can get this right, because the expectations that you bring, and we saw this in the video, the young bride there said she had expectations, okay? The expectations that you and I bring, not only to marriage, but to every relationships, has a huge, huge, huge impact. Huge impact. And so let me give you a definition of what I mean by expectation. Here's what I mean. The strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. Wow. Let me read that for us again. The strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. That's expectation. And the fact of the matter is, all of us bring those expectations, because here's what ends up happening in relationships. We all have certain desires. If you're married, or if you've ever been married, I promise you, you walked into that marriage, you walked into that relationship with certain desires that easily gets transferred to expectations. And the closer and the longer that you're in that relationship, the more defined they become. And that's why I would say this. The reason why relationships end is because of one thing: unmet expectation. We might think that it's the finances. We might think it's about sex. But when you boil it down, the reason why most relationships, if not all relationships, end is because of unmet expectations. And it's not just a marriage problem, it's a life problem. Because everybody that you're relating to right now, if you're not careful, you've taken those desires and now you have placed expectations on that relationship. And when they're not met, okay, we get frustrated. We find ourselves at a point of just exhaustion sometimes. And many times that leads us to end that relationship. And it's more than just a marriage problem, it's a life problem. It doesn't matter if you're single. It doesn't matter if you're married. It doesn't matter if you're working. It doesn't matter if you're unemployed. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're educated or if you're uneducated, rich or poor. When we have these expectations and they go unmet, it's lethal. It's deadly to every single relationship that we find ourselves in, and no one is immune. And so expectations, what are they? It's the strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. Now, here's the question. The question becomes, how do we develop these expectations? How do they enter my life? How do they enter your life? Because we have them, okay? We have them. You know, if you're married, you have certain expectations about how the house is being kept, right? You have a certain expectation about the lawn. You have a certain expectation about how you're going to celebrate holidays. You have a certain expectation about what church you're going to attend. You have certain expectations of how you're going to, quote unquote, rear your children. You have certain expectations about how you're going to deal with conflict in your relationship. You have certain expectations of when you're going to eat, what time you're going to eat. All of those expectations comes into play. And when they go unmet, they're lethal. They're deadly. They're deadly. And so you and I, what happens many times is we have these desires. And by the way, desires are okay. Okay? There's God-given desires. Where we get in trouble is when those desires become expectations. And we have a strong belief that something will happen or it will be the case in the future. Now, where do these expectations come from? How are they influenced and developed in our life? Let me share with you a couple of ways I believe that happens, and maybe you'll be able to identify with me on this. Expectations are influenced by what we have seen. What we have seen. And here's what I mean by that. It may be in the home that you grew up in. Okay? I grew up in a home where I never saw my mom and dad fight. Never saw my mom and dad raise their voice to one another. Okay? I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, you know, it sets a certain expectation. And so our expectations are influenced by what we've seen, the home that we've grown up in, okay? Maybe you yelled and swore and threw lamps at one another. I don't know. And so that's your expectation of, hey, you know what? We have a fight, and we're going to be throwing lamps, and we're going to be swearing at each other, and we're going to slam the doors, and we're going to leave, and then we'll come back, and everything will be okay. But that's how we fight around here. Or maybe you've seen something in a movie or in a book or in a magazine. And you know what? It's shaped your expectation. Maybe even on social media. And you fantasized. Maybe you read it in a romance book. Maybe you've watched soap operas. I don't know. But I know this, expectations are influenced by what we have seen, but also what we have heard, what we have heard. And the things that you have heard, you know, maybe through a book, maybe through a magazine, maybe through a talk, maybe through an aunt. Hey, honey, let me talk to you before you get married, okay? Maybe through an uncle, maybe through a pastor. I don't know. But what happens is you have expectations that have been influenced by what you have heard from other people in your life. And then the third one is expectations are influenced by what we've experienced. What we have experienced. And this is probably the biggest one, all right? This is where you and I have experienced it, maybe in the home that we grew up in. And we've seen how it played out. You know, maybe you grew up in a home of, like I said, you know, they were yellers, and so that's just your expectation. Maybe you grew up in a home of where they were very, very quiet. I don't know. But I know this. I know that there are certain things in your life, certain things in my life, certain things in all of our lives that have shaped our expectations. And they usually come from what we've seen, heard, and experienced. I love what Andy Stanley says, and here's what he would say. Attempting to recreate or avoid something in the past transforms desires into expectations. Wow. Attempting to recreate or avoid something in the past transforms desires into expectations. What's he saying? What's he saying is this. I grew up in a certain home, and you know what? I just thought it was Mayberry RFD. And you know what? I want to recreate it. And so what happens is I have a certain expectation of how we're going to celebrate Christmas, how we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, how we're going to celebrate Easter, how we're going to celebrate birthdays, because it was just wonderful. I just had an incredible childhood. And my mom and dad, guess what? They were married for 65 years, and I'd like to recreate that. That's my desire. So what happens is I come, and I have certain expectations because I want to duplicate that. Or maybe that's not what you grew up with. Maybe you grew up in a home that was separated. Maybe your mom and dad got a divorce. Or maybe they were together, but you know what I mean? They weren't together. Maybe it was like a hotel. And so in your mind, you're saying, I tell you what, when I get married, it's not going to be like that. No way. I'm not reliving that. I'm not going to give that to our kids. There's no way that I'm going to be in a marriage like that. And so you have certain desires. And your plan is to avoid what you experienced growing up. Is this making any sense to anybody? And so maybe you want to recreate something, or maybe you want to avoid something. And maybe they're good desires, but what happens is they come about through expectations. And what I want to share with us is this, is that there's some dangers that expectations can bring. And they're lethal. And they're subtle. And I want to share those with you. I want to give you three of them. All right, here's the first one. The first one is entitlement. Entitlement. You know, what happens is when we have these expectations, they can lead you and I to feeling entitled. Entitled. You go from desiring something to expecting something, and what happens is now you feel entitled to it. And here's what I mean. I deserve this. I deserve this. And when your desires and my desires morph into expectations, and we lay them on our spouses, okay, or you can lay them on your parents or whoever, we're basically telling them that we have a legal right or just to claim, fill in the blank, fill in the blank. And so a danger of having expectations is I deserve this. This is why we hooked up. This is why we said, I do. And what we have to understand is the result is a loss of gratitude. Whenever you and I feel entitled to something, we have a loss of gratitude. You see, nothing undermines gratitude quicker and faster than a sense of entitlement that comes through expectations. See, here's what I know. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your family, whether it's at the workplace, wherever you're at, the greater sense of entitlement that you believe that you have, the less grateful you are. Because why would you be grateful for something that you deserve? And this is deadly. You see, when you feel entitled to something, how much gratitude are you going to express? Very little. Very little. And what happens is this becomes very, very dangerous because we seldom express gratitude for that which we believe we deserve. And what can happen and what does happen in relationships, especially in marriages, is that we then end up gravitating towards roles. R-O-L-E-S, okay? And so let me tell you what it's like, okay? I'll just use Patty and I, okay? She'll love it. All right? She cooks, she washes the clothes, she keeps the house clean. I mow the yard, I make sure the car is working well, and I make sure that we go on vacation, let's say. And so I'm fulfilling my role, she's fulfilling her role. I go to the dresser, and there's no underwear. I'm ticked. What's up with this woman? I mean, can't she just keep me supplied with underwear? How hard is that? Because you know what? That's what I expect her to do. I expect, hey, woman, you know, I got you two healthy equipments here. I got you a washer and a dryer. Come on. And just to make play fair, she can, when are you going to mow the grass? Come on, do we have to get a goat? You know, what's the problem here? You see how that works? Because what happens is I'm feeling entitled that, you know what, hey, your role is to fulfill these different things, and I'm entitled to it, and I expect you to do it. And when you don't, what happens is I'm going to let you know. But when you do, I'm not going to say thanks. See, it's a powerful thing to be able to tell your thanks. Thanks. Thanks for fixing that meal. Thanks for washing my clothes. Thanks for folding my clothes. Thanks for ironing my clothes. And they may even say, you don't need to, but you know what? I never want to take it for what? For granted. Because the day that I take it for granted is the day that I'll begin to feel entitled, and the day that I begin to feel entitled is, guess what? Is the day that I won't be grateful. You see, what happens is this. Whenever you and I, listen to me very carefully, okay? Whenever you and I do not express gratitude, it's a sense of entitlement. And when you and I express gratitude to one another in whatever relationship we're in, you're reminding yourself that, hey, you know what? I'm not entitled to this. I don't really deserve this. And so entitlement is one of the dangers of expectations. And what happens is the loss is gratitude. Let me give you another one. Here's the second one. Demand. Okay? Demand. You see, once we feel entitled to something from our spouse or from someone else that you and I believe we deserve, now we go to demanding it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not in a rush to spend time with people who are constantly demanding things from me. Are you? No, none of us are. I mean, that's usually not the type of person that we want to continue to hang out with. They're harsh, they're impatient, they're unforgiving. And so what happens is our expectations can move to being demanding. And we demand this. Is it possible that you feel entitled to something in your marriage and you've taken it to a whole new level and now you're demanding it from her? Or you're demanding it from him? You see, we can't ultimately do it with God, but we can definitely do it with one another. And here's the loss. Here's the result of when you and I allow our expectations to go to a demand. It's this right here. It's a loss of intimacy. It's a loss of intimacy. And here's what happens is when you and I are demanding and we're harsh and we're unforgiving, what happens is there is a sense of low trust. You're not going to be trusting somebody who is constantly demanding from you. You will not give yourself completely to someone who is constantly demanding things from you. See, the secret of sex in marriage, but do I have your attention now? The secret of sex in marriage has nothing to do with sex. It really has very little to do with being physical with one another. It has to do with intimacy. And intimacy means to be known. And you're only going to let somebody know you who you what? Who you trust. And so what happens is if you want amazing sex, okay, you got to have intimacy. You got to have trust because you're not going to fully give yourself to somebody that you do not trust. And it won't be amazing unless you're willing to give yourself fully to her or to him. Because the fact of the matter is, if you don't trust them, you'll always be a little bit on guard. You'll always be a little bit afraid of being vulnerable and being intimate with one another. And so a danger of expectations can not only lead to entitlement, which will result in a loss of gratitude, but it can lead to a demand and a loss of intimacy, which all of us long for. Here's the third one, and that is judgment. Judgment. Here's what I mean by that. You know, it kind of goes like this: entitlement and demand, and then comes judgment. And what will happen is we'll end up judging one another. We'll end up judging our spouses by their willingness or their ability to provide for us, which we have declared as a need. And if it's provided, especially quickly, then what happens is I treat my spouse, I treat my wife, I treat my husband, I treat that person with respect and love. But if there's delays or denials or an unwillingness to provide, I make life difficult for them. I make life difficult. And it can be through multiple different ways: ignoring, through words, through different things. And what is lost is unconditional love. And that's something that all of us, that's what great relationships thrive on, is unconditional love. You see, if you expect it of me, if you demand it from me, and you judge me if you don't get it, then I have no margin to be able to love you unconditionally, because I'll never be able to exceed your expectations. I'll never be able to fulfill you. And love doesn't work well, doesn't do well, doesn't function well in the environments of expectations. Why? Because I expected it. So I'm not surprised. I'm not grateful. I don't feel blessed. I'm accustomed to it. You're just meeting the requirements. So why should I feel deeply loved? Because you're doing what you're supposed to do. How do we feel loved by other people? We feel loved by other people when they do something that they don't have to do, right? When they go out of their way. when they go the second mile. That's when we feel loved by them. And so this is so, so, so huge. And you might say, Dwight, well, what's the answer to this? What's the answer to entitlement and demands and judgment? Well, I love what Andy Stanley has to say. He says this: great marriage partners understand that they owe each other everything, but are owed nothing in return. Wow. That's a great relationship. That they understand that they owe each other everything, but are owed nothing in return. You see, today, if you are a Christ follower, we take our cues from Christ, the greatest lover of all, the greatest relationship builder of all times. And here's what he said. He said, a new command I give to you. Love one another, not as your father loved you, not as your mother loved you, not as your ex loved you, not as your boss loved you, but as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Wow. That's the key. See, Jesus loves us that way. He doesn't look for anything in return. He just loves us unconditionally. And it's a powerful, powerful relational principle. And Paul made it applicable to all of us when he writes this. And he says, this is the key. He says, follow the way of love. That's what he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, follow the way of love. And you might say, well, what is that way? Let me give it to you, okay? Because he lists it. It says this: love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Wow. Isn't always me first. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. He says, follow the way of love. If you want a great marriage, if you want a great relationship, that's the attitude that we have to have. Follow the way of love. Now, what is love? Let me wrap up with this, okay? First of all, love is a command. Love is a command. Jesus said, a new commandment that I give to you. You know, maybe you're familiar with, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus is saying, scrap that right now, okay? I'm giving you a new command. And that is to love other people the way that I have loved you. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Paul says it like this. He says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. Because it does. I could say it like this. Go after a marriage of love as if your marriage depended on it. Because it does. Love is a choice. Love's not a feeling. See, God would not command you and I to do something based on a feeling. Love is a command. Love is a choice. Love is a conduct. And what I mean by that is it's a behavior. Look what 1 John says. Let us stop saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our actions. Conduct. Okay? Words are cheap. Words are cheap. I can't say that I love Patty and I feel entitled. And I'm demanding, and I'm judgmental. Those are all killers of love. And then love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. Look at this verse here. God is love. If we keep on loving others, we will stay one in our hearts with God. And if we stay one in our hearts with God, guess what? He will stay one with us, and we will be able to stay one with one another. And so Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. That you love one another as I have loved you. And Paul experienced that love. And continually he would write about it. And he wrote about it not only to the church in Corinth, but also the church in Rome when he says this: owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. Wow. If you love others, if you love your husband, if you love your wife, if you love your kids, if you love your mom and dad, if you love one another, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Wow. So let me ask you two questions and then I'm done. This is for you. So what are your expectations in your marriage? You know them? You got them? Have you ever written them down? Or are you just going to feel entitled and demanding and judgmental? What's your three top expectations? Here's the second question. Do you feel entitled? Are you demanding? Are you judging? Just tell God, God, I want to follow the way of love. I want to feel like I owe them everything, but I'm owed nothing in return. That's how you and I can experience not only great relationships, but a great marriage. Would you pray with me? God, I pray for myself because I have felt at times of where I have sensed that I was entitled or maybe I was demanding or judgmental, and I ask you to forgive me. And I pray that you would help me, along with my friends here today, that we would follow the way of love. That we would love the way in which you have loved us, which is an incredible, unbelievable love. It's a transformational love. And so I pray that for myself, and I pray that for each and every one of us today. And I ask this in Jesus' name, the greatest lover of all. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.